Notice I'm the only one that brought a drink up to the pulpit, but I dry out quick. No amens. That's good. That's good. I want to appreciate the brethren here for having me speak today and let you know that Gary is my best friend in this area and the work that we share in the sense that we encourage one another every week. And him and his wife are the hardest working folks I have seen in the church. And so I know that you appreciate them also. I don't know why Gary decided to me to be last. You know, it could be because, you know, he knew some people would have left by now. Or maybe you could sleep through it. But I hope that it's because Gary knows me well enough to know how much I want to go to heaven. Do you? Amen? That's great. We're going to go right by the sheet today, or the lesson that's in the book. But I'm going to be moving rather quickly. I'm trying to keep up with the time. Foundations for the future. 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in the world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they do be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And notice, thereby those things he said, and doing the work of the Lord, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We need to be active in the Lord's church. You know, it's just amazing to me that I run into people often that have not learned yet that the greatest joy is in serving the Lord every day. I do not believe that it was by accident that the first recorded words of Jesus on earth is at the end of Luke chapter 2. Didn't you know? I must be about my Father's business. Can you imagine waking every day and saying, today I must be about my Father's business? To learn how great it is and the joy of serving the Lord. Whether it's defending the truth, whether it's proclaiming the gospel, where it's visiting and helping people in all aspects of their lives, especially, of course, spiritually. The American Standard Version says at the end of that, verse 19, the life which is life indeed. There was a movie that came out. I suggest that you look at it. Called The Ultimate Gift. It's talking about what's really important in life and in helping others. I would not say that this is something that you're going to get your faith from, because that comes by hearing the Word of God. But the ultimate thing in life is service. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. We should live each day as the day of salvation, as it says in 6:2 of 2 Corinthians. The previous chapter says we are ambassadors of Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. And then he says, let's be workers together with him. Today is the day of salvation. When I live in Christ by his word today, my tomorrows are secure in real faith. Faith that takes action, like James says. Study. Pray. Worship. Work in benevolence, helping others. Edify the saints. Teach others the gospel. I hope you'll read all the scriptures that I have there. If they're worshiping in heaven, in Revelation 5, 6 through 14 that I have there, don't you know that we should enjoy worshiping and serving God if they're doing it in heaven or paradise now? What I try to do is do some of each of these. I'll never be able to do all I want to do, what I desire to do, but you do what you can with abilities and talents that you have. By doing this, we are laying up treasures in heaven. That's laying the foundations. And Jesus said, laying up those treasures in heaven where men can't take it away from you. And secure your rest that remains for the people of God. In Hebrews 3, he warns us, don't be like those stubborn, stiff-necked people in the Old Testament that rebelled against God and had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and didn't get to go into the Canaan. They didn't get to go into the earthly Canaan. Now, how about you in the heavenly Canaan? He said, there remaineth a rest for the people of God, just like God rested in chapter 4 of Hebrews. On the Sabbath day, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. I'm looking for that rest. I'm not talking about floating on a cloud watching a ball game on TV either. I'm talking about rest and service to God in heaven with no opposition, with no cares, with no frustration, with no pain, with no death. Now, we know that that rest is also warned that we can miss it in chapter 4. It also warns in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9 that you can miss it. He said, if you do what they do, you're going to reap the same wrath that they did. And I took that warning as I read the last part of 14, and it says the wrath was like the blood coming up to the horse's bridle. I figured that was pretty bad, so I didn't want to do that. But verse 13 says, but those that are faithful, they rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. God knows what I do. He knows what I don't do. He forgives me for my shortcomings. But I want to strive for Him. But what I want to convey to you more than anything else today is that laying a foundation for heaven and having that hope that is real in your life as you labor for the Lord is great joy. When I feel on cloud 9 looking toward heaven is when I'm pushing a wheelchair at Emeritus, not too far from here, and I just taught a Bible class and I'm pushing them into the dining hall where I'm going to pass out my literature to everybody. It's a great joy. People say, Tom, you preach 4 times on Sunday. I said, you must be so tired. I said, yeah, but you don't understand. It's a good tired. Brethren, there is a good tired. And it's in serving the Lord. Get busy. But make sure that you give God all the glory. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens and the works of Thy hands. The Lord, look, the Lord laid all the foundations of the universe. Don't you know that He can lay up a foundation for you in a place called heaven? And a place that is in heaven, which is paradise, right after death. My citizenship is already in heaven, Philippians 3. God is going to give us that incorruptible, immortal body. I know that every day. We want to so live that we can say to others, when you're at my funeral, don't cry for me. Cry if you miss me, you know. But don't cry for me. Paul and Tommy, it's kind of being presumptuous, knowing where you're going. Wasn't for Paul. He said, I'm fixing to die. But I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. And there's an inheritance laid up for me. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Not for me only, but to all those that love His appearing. How great heaven's going to be. John said, I know that I know him because I keep his commandments. 2 and verse 5 of 1 John. We are sojourners on this earth, as Abraham and others were. I'm just passing through. My home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Fight the good fight of faith because it's worth it. Let me ask you this question. And I ask myself this question. Tom, what you going to give up? For what in this world will you hold on to and miss heaven? Anything worth it? You better look closely. It's not. And everything is temporary. God says, I've done my part. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1. He wants us to do our part and take on His divine nature. So bring along beside your part. And we don't have to have time to study this. But it says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if you do these things, you'll always be fruitful. You'll never forget your salvation, verse 9. You'll make your calling and election sure, and you will never fall. When I read that, boy, I said, boy, that got to study on this. And so an entrance shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, you'll be ready for heaven. But you got to build a foundation. Doing what God says. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. You will understand more and more the righteousness and justice of God as you look to Christ and Him crucified. As in Romans chapter 5. God's justice demanded that, yes, all die because man sinned. And He uses Adam. But then why one man came salvation, Jesus Christ. We see mercy and grace and salvation and everything on the cross. But we also see the justice and the righteousness of God. Then you will repent and do His will as it is done in heaven. Where you do want to go, right? We all do want to go to heaven. Amen? We read that Lord's Prayer. As your will is done in heaven. And so, if His will is done in heaven and I want to go to heaven, obviously I should want to do His will now. What is it that causes me to know I can live for Christ today, tomorrow, and year after year? And for the rest of my life. What is it that causes me to know I will reach heaven? The answer is the precious, wonderful, glorious promises of God. Those precious promises that are talked about in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. My Lord will always love me, and He'll always care for me. He is my shepherd. John chapter 10. And His love compels me to serve Him. He is always with me and He will never leave me. Jesus will always walk with me if I walk with Him, and He will forgive me if I walk in the light as He is in the light. And those things aren't grievous. God's commandments are not grievous. Once you get past the commandment thing, you know, I got to do this. No, I want to do this. Christianity is not a have-to religion. It's a want-to religion. Because of the love of God and our love for Him, which should be manifest through us to others. God will always give me a way to escape every temptation He promised. 1 Corinthians 10. He will give me an open door of opportunity to teach the gospel. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. I can do it. The reason I did not become a Christian is because I tried to become a Christian man's way. And I was raised in all kinds of churches. And I kept falling on my face, so I gave up. I started reading the Bible and started applying the Word of God then I could live it. That's the only way. That's the only way to lay up a foundation of hope, the hope of heaven. Being made free from sin, I can be the servant of righteousness. That's what the context is really talking about. He's not trying to prove baptism in Romans 6, even though he does. He's trying to prove when we were set free so we can serve God. All things will work together for good in my life as long as I love the Lord. There's a lot of promises in the Bible. I hope you'll make your own list. Many years ago, when I was in my 20s, I'm just triple 21 now, right? I've never seen 22. But I was expressing my hope to this other student in this auto mechanics class. And he said, "Tom, you're just hoping for heaven. You're just wishing for heaven." I said, "You don't understand. My faith is based upon the Word of God. My hope is based upon my faith, the Word of God. And the Word of God I can prove to you to be true. Therefore, if the Word of God is true, then my faith is real and my hope is real, and I'm on my way to heaven." We need to have that confidence. But we'll only have it if we're building that foundation and laying up treasures in heaven. Hope you'll read those scriptures that I give there. Since the Word of God is a living, so is our hope, because Jesus Christ is living. Jesus is our hope, 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. He was alive yesterday, today, and forever. And He's the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "My hope is living," just like the Word of God is living. We are looking forward to the coming of the Lord. When He comes, Jesus will bring the dead in Christ with Him. They will be resurrected first. Those that are faithful on earth will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, in 1 Corinthians 15, and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. I know what's going to happen. I don't have to listen to these far-out preachers and so forth about setting up a kingdom here upon this earth and all this. No, I'm going to meet the Lord in heaven. One Baptist preacher told me one time, he said, "Tom," he was actually came over to the church. They were right next door to us over here at Central. And he said, "Well, what's going to happen? Yeah, we're going to go to meet them in there, then we're going to come back for a while." I said, "What in the world do I want to come back to this world for?" You know, could not understand that, you know. Don't mess with my hope. We can also live confidently knowing where the Christians go when they die before the resurrection, before the coming of the Lord. Where do I go? Well, Solomon said that the body goes back to the dust of the ground, but we, the spirit, the real us, goes back to God who gave it. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 32, Jesus indicated that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were alive. He said, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And He mentions those three men. David said of his dead son, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." The dead saints, represented figuratively by the 24 elders, were praising with the angels God in heaven. Tom, how do you know those elders were the righteous? Well, I've read the whole book, especially those few chapters there. And I've read chapter 3. It said, "Those that walk with, some of you will still walk with me in white." They had white robes given to them. So you just have to understand what the scriptures and study the scriptures. And you'll find out that one of the greatest books on hope is the book of Revelation. There was praising Christ in chapter 5 as He appears on the scene. "You have redeemed us out of every nation." It even indicates that they're singing on the earth as we sing, indicating that they're singing in heaven while we're singing here, and I like that. They were making petitions about those that were being persecuted on the earth. And then he comforted them and just said, wait a season. I'll take care of them. And he tells them what his judgment will be like. They were before the throne just as they were in chapter 4. And they served God day and night, and he wiped away all their tears from their eyes. The faithful who are killed for their faith were carried into heaven. Revelation 11, 10, and 12. I kind of like that. If you really study chapter 11, it's a really good chapter. Because what the Romans were doing, they were killing the Christians, you know. And he said they had a party over them, they killed them, and they had a party over them, you know, and everything. And all of a sudden they got up and went to heaven. What do you do with those Christians? I mean, you kill them, they go to heaven, you know. I love it. Let it sink deep into your heart. Build that foundation. The faithful who are killed for their faith are carried to heaven. They rest from their labors and their works do follow them. They have remained faithful in persecution and celebrate the victory as Moses did in the Old Testament. It says in chapter 15 of Revelation, they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by. Go back to chapter 15 of Exodus, and you'll see in those first 22 verses is a song of Moses. Now, I don't know the tune, and I can't sing it. But there's some awful good things in there, especially about getting our strength from the Lord. But they were celebrating the victory that they had over the Egyptians. And these were celebrating the victory they had over the persecution and all that they had endured in life because they were in joy in heaven. I want to be there celebrating. I sure don't want to be where the rich man was in Luke chapter 16. And they live and they reign with Christ. Revelation 20 and verse 4. Now let us consider what happens at the judgment. You say, why do we study all this time? Because my life is built on this. Abraham's life was built on this. He was considering a city whose builder and maker was God. I know where I'm going. I know this life is temporary. I can go in through anything with Christ. I had to. I had to wait a number of hours, probably about 7 hours. And my cancer came back. They were going to do surgery. And in pain for 7 hours, prayed to the Lord. But you know the confidence that going through that, it doesn't matter where I live, it doesn't matter where I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. He's going to be with me in this life or in the life to come. The fear is taken away. Joy fills your mind and your heart. Young people, it can fill your life every day if you will commit to Him and His service. I'm looking forward to those words. How about you? Matthew 25. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Don't you want to hear those words? Don't you know by faith that you're going to hear that? If you have the joy of serving Him now. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The righteous go into life eternal. And finally, in that final place, it says there'll be no death, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no crying, there'll be no pain. I see a lot of people suffer in the assisted living and in the nursing homes. How grand it is to tell people the hope in Christ. They'll only obey the word. The former things are passed away. The key word was trust in that first verse that I gave you today. What are you trusting in? In what are you putting your trust? If it's the things of this world, they're going to pass away. But what I have invested and laid a foundation for in Jesus Christ is going to last forever. He that overcometh, it's all about overcoming in the book of Revelation. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And they reigned forever and forever. With faith, hope, and love in Christ, we can have the foundation that really makes a difference. For today, we can only work for him and live for him today. But it's laying that foundation for tomorrow that I can continue to live for him. It's laying that foundation in when I take my last breath. I don't know if God's changed it. The angels came and got Lazarus, you know, chapter 16. I'm going to be looking for the angels or somebody from heaven to take me there. Because I have the promise. We don't have to worry about the Lord's coming. We look forward to it. May we all have the attitude of John as Revelation ends. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Thank you.